Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm glad you made it. I'm happy to be back, full strength. Got a nice big bruise on my leg, but I am good. And I am going to have another kind of crazy week. I hope to be on the show every morning. But there's stuff going on in the Brewer household. My son Mike, that I left in the middle of the week for yesterday or last week, is here with me now and has to be kept very calm, very quiet, because he really, really can't breathe. And he's struggling. If he does exert himself in any way, shape, or form, he gets very, very winded, and his trachea is so obstructed beneath his chest cavity that really not much brings any relief. And surgery will be Wednesday morning at the University of Miami Hospital. So, now you're caught up with some of the stuff that's going on in this household. But what I really, really, really want to talk about today is a video that was posted by Jawara Sanders. She is the director of Navi, and she puts interesting stories on, and many of them have to do with the treatment of young people. She's made quite a quite an organization in an effort to support gay kids in every way, shape, and form, and she is doing an amazing job. And it's something that needed to be done, and I'm not sure how she knew what to do, but she did. And she took it several steps into the future. Well, she posted a video this past week, and I watched the video, and I was upset by the video and a little bit shocked. Well, not a lot shocked, a little bit shocked. But more than anything, the comments after the viewing of the video is what really, really floored me. So it's a video of a mom who, according to the video, looked like she had three children. And I don't know where they were from. I couldn't tell by the home or anything you know, where this might have been filmed. But apparently mom came home and found this 12-year-old, very young-looking 12-year-old, by the way, because that kind of enters into this, very thin, absolutely positively not womanly yet at this point in time of her life. And mom caught her posting provocative selfies on the internet. And when she did, she decided that the lesson for her daughter would be to put on Facebook her being reprimanded for her actions posting these pictures. So the whole video was set up in their kitchen, living room kind of arena, dining room, whatever. And during the video, you saw an older girl walk in and out from in front of the camera, and you saw a younger child who the mom yelled at on several occasions who was in the back bedroom. And mom started out by telling her that she was going to get beat and had a belt in her hand. And she snapped the belt a couple times and yelled at her and smacked her with the belt. on her arms, on her upper arms, on her around the elbow area. And then she'd scream at her a little bit more. The conversation was not, I really couldn't understand what was being said, except for the obvious anger in the voice and the daughter crying. And it escalated to a point where she backed her down the hallway, and she'd get a little bit away from her, and the mother would stop and take her by the forearm and pull her in front of her again and look at the camera and say, "This is what you get, you know, for this kind of behavior," and start smacking her again. And it made me kind of ill to hear the belt snapping against this skinny little girl's arms and her the side of her butt, her legs. That's where she was beating her. She didn't, at this point in time, didn't hit her around the face or the head, which I guess I was grateful for. And as I said, it appeared to be a little boy that stayed pretty much in the back bedroom. And a few times the mother would scream at him, and he would come to the doorway, and I couldn't understand what she was saying to him, and then he'd disappear again. And the 12-year-old would work her way down the hallway, and the mother would scream for her to come out, and she was pretty obedient, I would say. So this went on, 10 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes. And it escalated to the point where the 12-year-old fell to the floor and was covering her head, and Mom just relentlessly beat her with this belt. Her shoulders, the back of her head, her torso, and that was the end of the video. So it was very, very upsetting, very disheartening. And I've seen others on Facebook that were posted. I never see any repercussions or any follow-up about what happens to these people. Or if somebody posted one quite a while back and I never talked about it because I, emotionally speaking, I couldn't. It was of a crawling toddler, and the mom sat on the floor and just kept hitting the baby. And the baby would crawl towards the mom, and the mom would just hit the baby again and knock him to his belly while he was crawling. It was horrible. And I watched to see if I found anything in the news, researched as well the video, and tried to find out if anybody knew where it came from, if that child was saved, taken away from that mother. I never found anything. So I watched the video, and as I've learned to do, I moved to the comment area, where other people commented about the video. And this, perhaps not more so, but certainly in conjunction with my shock at the video, I was equally, if not more, shocked by the comments. Adults who made comments like, "This and worse would happen to me. I lived through it." Or "My dad would do this to me and, you know, beat me with a switch or do this or do that." Or, "My mother would, until I started screaming and crying, she would just keep doing it because it was like if I didn't scream and cry, then she wasn't hurting me enough." And I read them several times and thought to myself, I don't understand. Mind you, my mom, I remember one time my mom slapped me in the face. And then she was more remorseful than I was. My dad, too. My dad slapped me in the face when I was a young teenager because I worried him. He I took off with some friends in a car. I was 17, and they didn't know where I was, and that was not the time of cell phones or anything like that, so, and he slapped me. But to be beaten, or to be relentlessly beaten over several minutes, never. Nor did I witness that being done to any of my siblings. My sister would get in a lot more trouble than I did, and she might get spanked when she was real little. But she would, you know, she would get right in my dad's face and almost dare him to hit her. And that wouldn't last very long. And there was never any beatings in the sense of a beating. And the same with me. I slapped my boys across the face for lying to me. And the first time I caught them all smoking, they all got slapped, including my little brother. Only because I needed to make a point, and I felt like if I didn't, I wasn't a hitter, never have been a hitter. And I always thought that it was important for me to make myself understood before I issued any kind of reprimands or punishments. So, when I read all these comments from all these other people, all these adults, I was like, nothing ever happened to anybody? I mean, some of these kind of things that they talked about are like corporal punishment. I don't get it. I mean, you read every day about children dying at the hands of their parents, children being in some way, shape, or form, their quality of life being taken away because of beatings. What happens to those parents? We talk about all the time, we talk about bullying. This is what Renee's heart-to-heart was based on, was about bullying and about being unkind to others and about the safety of your children when they leave your home. And I've talked about this before, and I'm going to say it again. Even in the bully's handbook, the most unsafe place for most children who are really harassed on a regular basis is their own home. Now, again, I know for a fact that some of the adults that commented on this video have forgiven, are still close to, at this point in their lives, do things for their parents. And something about that makes me feel like, you know, oh my God, how can this be? How can you be so forgiving of somebody that hurt you that many times? But we do, you know. We forgive our parents all the time. I don't know, that might be a God-given safety mechanism. I'm not sure. But some of the people that commented, I know are close to their parents now, and I know they've forgiven them. And yet they talk about some of those kind of beatings openly. That hurts my heart to the point of, I just don't get it. How are we expected to protect them? All kids, all young people, all people that are not in charge of what happens to them. If we can't even keep them safe in their own home. And now, as I said, I've tried to find out if there are any repercussions on this woman. Now, she did not bloody this child. She did not break one of her arms. Chances are, and this is just an assumption on my part, chances are that if she had hurt her bad enough so that she had to go to the emergency room, there would have been repercussions because that would have alerted a medical team and they would have reported it to the police because that's the rules. But the snap of the belt was real. on that little girl's skinny arms. The snap of the belt was real. At the end of the video, when she was hitting her in the back of the head and on her back. So I am having trouble, first of all, dealing with the video, but even more so, dealing with the comments afterwards. Was it normal? Is it normal to expect a harmful, real beating from your parents? And it seems to be a lot of times it's the mom and not the dad. I wonder what that means. I wonder what that means to a child. And I wonder what that does to a woman when she's an adult. Now, some of the comments mentioned that when that happened to them with any repetition, they became even more belligerent. They would leave and not let anybody know where they were, or they would take off and go someplace where nobody else could find them. So I wonder if that has, if that means something at the end of the day. Does that mean that a child who is strong-willed and realizes that, yes, they did something wrong, but mom overdid it or dad overdid it? Are these kids of a higher consciousness than their parents? I suspect that's a big possibility. I suspect that in some cases, the children know better than their parents. And who does that make into an adult? Does that make the kind of adult, like we read about all the time, that's going to offer the same kind of punishment? Or does that make adults that are more conscious of what that does to your psyche when your mom takes you down to the ground with a belt? Obviously, in my tenure as a counselor and listening to people's stories, I've met many people who've turned into amazing adults. I've talked on the air on several occasions about a woman I met several years ago who suffered from a lot of physical ailments. She became a victim of crippling arthritis at a very young age and changed her lifestyle and actually didn't arrest the crippling arthritis, but she is still very active, movable. I know some people who are given a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis in the very early ages. I once met a 14-year-old who was in a reconstruction home from crippling arthritis at age 14. So this young woman, I didn't know anything about that boy, and I was only maybe 3 years older than him, so I didn't question why he would get something like that. But chances are, now that I'm older and understand a little bit more about our psyche and the energy our heads and brains have over the rest of our body, it wouldn't surprise me to find out that child, he was perfectly happy to be in the reconstruction home. That should have been my first clue that there was something going on at home. But I didn't go there. I was, 17. So this woman that I got to know fairly well, the horrors of her childhood, I tried to get her to write a journal. And I believe she does, at this point in time, write in a journal to let go of some of the pain and anguish suffered by the hands of parents, aunts, uncles, almost a whole family. And I want to offer those words of wisdom to you out there who may be listening right now. If you are immersed in that kind of life now and you're fairly young, opening up, talking, is the freest, most beneficial gift you can ever give yourself. The deeper you bury, the longer it takes to get rid of it. So, and it doesn't mean you have to look at somebody else and go through the embarrassment or the look of horror on someone's face so now you're ashamed all over again. Write it down in a journal. A very dear friend of mine does journaling classes in a lot of different venues. And I happen to know firsthand that the people she's coached with their journaling do very well. They get rid of old abuse, old pain, old hurt, put it on a piece of paper, and can even look at it and kind of disengage themselves from it. It's good for you, and it's very, very healthy to get rid of that kind of pain. So now, back to this 12-year-old. What do you think is going to happen now to this 12-year-old? Think this 12-year-old's going to go out and do something worse? Perhaps provocative pictures on the internet was a segue into, promiscuity, things like that. So is that beating going to stop that? Or is that beating going to exacerbate her feelings and put her in the, I'll show you, I'm going to get even mode? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with her mindset when she remembers that day? And as I said, my instinct was that day was one of many. Just her reactions, the fact that she cried, but she cried softly. She never fought back. She put her hands up until the corners of her hands, by her pinkies, would get hit so hard with the belt that then she started protecting her hands as well and just putting her head down and taking the lashes. And the worst thing she did was walk away into the room in the hopes that Mom had run down and wouldn't call her back out front or chase her. And that didn't happen, as I said, until she got her down on the floor. And there was a look of submission in the kid's eyes and the kid's demeanor. But my big question is, now what is she going to do? Is she going to run away? Is she going to find the first pimp that wants to work her and treat her like she's special in the very beginning, all the stories we hear about that? What's she going to do? Was that beating a turning point to get this young woman to see the error of her ways? Or was that a stepping stone into something so much worse, so much darker, so much more demeaning? I question that, and I really, really don't think I have an answer to that. I fear, obviously, that now she's going to go way over the other side, way over the other side. And do I have feelings of disgust, maybe even a little bit of hatred for a mom who could relentlessly just stand there and beat on her kid? I think I do. A little bit ashamed to say that, but I think I do. Do I understand a little bit that maybe Mom was treated that way, and that's why she thinks that that's the only recourse she has? And do I think if she just ignored it and pretended like she didn't see it and tried to deal with it and keep an eye on it, that it would help? No, I don't think that either. I'm not sure. I will say that as a young woman myself, when I learned of the promiscuity of my friends, even at age 15, and that was a long time ago, 50 years ago, I said, what are you thinking? And my girlfriends will say, well, I'm going to marry him. And at 15, you rarely know who you're going to marry. Rarely. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's rare because you're not even who you're going to be. And for sure, they're not who they're going to be. So I have really mixed emotions, though. In the comments that I read, mostly the biggest percentage said, now she's going to be worse. Now she's going to stay out 3 and 4 days, and she'll suffer the consequences because now she feels like she can take the beatings. And now she feels like, you know, as long as she gets to do what she wants and can maybe hurt mom that way because she can't beat mom with the belt, that maybe that's what she's going to do. Either way, mom and daughter will probably never have the kind of relationship that they're supposed to have, I don't think. And I also wonder what the deal will be with the little brother. He appeared to be a brother. I'm making that assumption. What will happen to this little brother that witnessed that? Is he going to grow up to think that maybe he gets beat too? But what if it's just the girls that get beat for their behavior, their unladylike behavior? Either way, I don't think it was the answer. Either way, I'm not big on hands-on punishment, which is not to say, as I said, that I haven't slapped my kids when they got older. And I certainly spanked them when they were little, if they ran near the road or if I caught them taking a knife out of the silverware drawer. And I've certainly slapped plenty of little hands to make sure that kids don't touch things that are going to hurt them. But to relentlessly beat on somebody, I don't think I could do that to him. I couldn't do that to my dog. I couldn't. And most of the people I know, I don't think, could do that to their family pet or anybody else, for that matter. But I do wonder what the repercussions are going to be. Now, a few of the people that I've counseled in days gone by, after hypnotism, could remember abuse even as infants. Not 3 weeks old, but the three that I'm remembering at the top of my head were under a year, still in a most of the time laying down position, and they had vivid memories of always looking up and seeing the faces of elders, and bad memories and pain. Sometimes bad memories that couldn't be named, sometimes bad memories that couldn't be really discussed. It was just a feeling. So again, I wonder the validity of this and wonder if this is the answer. But I think that if you look through history, corporal punishment, inflicting pain, has always been a way of training anything. Spurs on a horse, a bit in a horse's mouth. I talked to a young man the other day, and he says he has the best pit bull. He would never, ever bite anybody because the very first time he bit somebody, he punched him square in the nose. I said, with your fist? And he said, yeah. I don't think it really hurt him, Grandma. I said, oh. And you know that because... And he said, well, he stopped biting. I said, I see. I said, and you think... He says, well, he's a great dog. Ask anybody. He minds me. He does what he's told. You know, and all it took was a few punches. And I got to tell you, I sat there looking at him, thinking to myself, and I know what kind of a family he comes from, and it's not the best. And there's some extenuating circumstances there. I don't think he was beaten as a child, but I don't think he was particularly coddled or supported a lot of times. I know he isn't now that he's an adult. But when I argued with him, and of course they all think because I'm grandma, that's why I don't think it's a good idea to hit somebody, or that's why I don't approve of hitting your dog. And they make the assumption that I would never do that. And I said, well, I don't know that that's true. I have a temper. I'm Irish. I have a pretty good temper. And I'm not so sure that if somebody attacked me physically, that I wouldn't be able to fight back pretty good even at 65. But I don't find it a learning tool. I don't find abuse something to use to teach somebody right from wrong. I could be wrong because my kids have made lots of mistakes. I could be wrong because my siblings, I mean, I can remember my brother, who has been gone for several years now, picking on my mom. If she yelled at him, he would laugh at her or, you know, make fun of her because she was reprimanding him. And she would just start slapping him with her hands, and that would make him laugh harder until he was on the ground rolling around. And I remember one day I walked in, and she was kicking him, and he was laughing. And I said, Mom, why are you kicking him? Because, look at him. He thinks it's funny because I told him he had to do this or I had to do that. And I said, Joey, stand up. Mom, quit kicking Joey. She didn't hurt him because she really probably didn't want to, but she wanted to exercise some authority. Joey just made fun of her. He just thought it was hilarious that she was doing that. And he was a good man. He never hurt anybody. I never saw him really raise his hand to anybody either. But his reaction to my mother losing her temper was amusement. And of course, she didn't have a belt in her hand. She didn't have a stick. She didn't have a frying pan like some of the stories I hear about. She just slapped him with her hands, and she was big when she was real young, but by this time she was pretty thin and not a real big woman. But again, it was different. The part I think that's scary for a child is when they pick up on the anger and the hatred. To know that you deserve to get smacked by mom every now and then or spanked by dad because you know you've been a bad kid when you're 8 or 9 years old is one thing. I never approved of a kid getting spanked because they spilt their milk at a dinner table. My husband and I used to take bets on which one would do that every night because inevitably somebody did every night. So some things are to be expected. But I question the validity of any kind of violence solving anything. In what sense has war, other than making more jobs, which is all political, or more income for certain countries, how does it solve anything except for losing lives? Again, anger and violence, I don't know. For me, it's not the answer. And again, Now I want to know what's going to happen to this mom. And the other video that I watched almost 6 months ago, I can't get the visual of that even out of my head. And every day you see pictures of animals being abused, starved to death. And there's so many animal rights activists. And I applaud them for their efforts. I love animals as well. And anything that breathes and walks and lives deserves to be treated with respect. But in truth, I question why anybody's shocked that animals get abused when babies get left in the back of hot cars or put in garbage cans or suffocated with a pillow or abused sexually. I've taken to going to Snopes a lot when I read certain stories because some of them are so appalling, I don't want to believe that it's possible to have somebody walking the streets every day that could abuse a five-month-old baby sexually. My granddaughter, who is 17 and very bright, very articulate, and a very good kid, called me the other night because she read something on Facebook about a woman prostituting out her, I don't know, six-month-old baby to some guy. He paid her $400 to have, to abuse this baby. My granddaughter called me beside herself, and she said, "Grandma, first of all, it's disgusting. I feel like throwing up. And secondly, how can that be?" When she said that to me, I was like, she means the act itself, how it's possible. And I said, "Well, I don't think it's actual fornication like what you're thinking. I think it's other stuff." I said, "And I can't go there either, honey. Even at age 65, I can't let my imagination give me an answer to that question, and I just assume you didn't either. Because the truth of the matter is, whatever happens is sick, and the person that is allowing it and the person that is doing it need to be put in a padded cell. They need to be put someplace where they can't make decisions about anybody else. They can't alter the lives of another living thing in any way, shape, or form." Now, a lot of things that we read aren't true. I need to say that. And that's what I told my granddaughter. I said a lot of the things that people put on the internet are a shock. And maybe they're even fantasies coming from a sick mind that they post on Facebook. So a lot of times, not just Facebook, Huffington Post, there's a whole bunch of entities out there that have very, very off-the-wall, disgusting stories that they share. And you can't always be sure that they're true. So I think Snopes is a good place to find out whether something is true or something somebody conjured up to see how much attention they could get. But if anybody out there has any answers and would like to contact me on Facebook, you can Facebook me at Renee Brewer, and I will accept you as a friend almost always. And I wonder if your own life can give you an answer, or if you can imagine how the results are going to be from this visual beating of this 12-year-old, if it's going to stop her, turn her into a good little girl, or is it going to push her over the other edge? I fear, myself, that the search for love and belonging and support and care often pushes people over the other side because they think they can get it in any way, shape, or form. I think that a lot of times somebody turns to something, often it's just drugs, to hide the pain, alcohol, to make the pain go away for a little while, or make you feel outgoing and jovial and funny and the best dancer in the room, even though you don't feel like that when you're sober or when you're not high. That's one of the reasons people get hooked on drugs and alcohol, because they don't, for whatever reasons, they don't like who they are. And sometimes they don't like who they are because of the way they're being treated. I had a young woman say to me one time that, how can I expect anybody else to care about me if my own mother doesn't love me? And let me tell you, I pondered that. I still ponder it, and it was said to me many, many, many years ago. And I said, first of all, I don't believe, you know, my comeback to this young woman was, I don't believe your mother doesn't love you. She just doesn't know how to be responsible. It's a hard job being responsible for children. It's a, you wanna make sure that they do everything right so that they don't get hurt. It's not about the right or wrong of it. It's about protecting them. And sometimes the adults involved don't know how to make that happen. Now, I would wonder if the woman in this video, because she videoed it, because she wasn't trying to hide anything, I almost believe that she was showing the world that that's how much she cares about her kid, that she's going to beat the hell out of her to make her a good girl, keep her safe. I mean, does that seem far-fetched? Does that seem like it's out of the question? I don't think it is. I think in a lot of cases, that's the deal. That's the real truth. That they believe that if they beat or bring their child to submissiveness, their child won't be doing things that are going to hurt them or bad or that they're going to disapprove of. So they instill fear and make the child fearful. And think, I can't do that, my mother will kill me. I can't do that, my father will beat the hell out of me. And it does work for a while sometimes, I think. But it doesn't work forever. And it's definitely not the end. Even with children and parent relationships, it's about respect. You have to respect them, and they have to respect you. And it's not always so easily achievable. I get that. I definitely get that. And God knows, raising four children, I have made my share of mistakes. And sometimes I think back on things, decisions I made, and thought, what in the hell were you thinking? So I think that's normal to make mistakes. But the thing about mistakes, the worth of mistakes, is that you learn from them. And that you don't make them time and time and time and time again. That's where you have to learn. That's how you have to change yourself. And that's how you have to protect your children from them making the same mistake. It won't be easy. But I'll tell you something. If we don't start having aspirations about love, respect, regard for other people's feelings, their physical well-being, then will never get any better. And again, if it doesn't start from home, where is it supposed to start? A lot of people want to lay it in the school system. I don't. It was a big shock to me to find out that there would be other adults who didn't think my children were the most beautiful, the sweetest, the this, the that. I was shocked because it never dawned on me that there might be an adult that didn't like one of my kids when they were little. And so cheruby and so adorable to me, I could not believe that there might be a teacher in school who just for whatever reasons didn't like them. That was shocking to me. But it's true, and it happens. It's not something that you can avoid. You cannot expect everybody to feel the same way about the people in your life that you do. You just can't. And I think that once you understand that, it helps you be a better parent. I think that it helps you be a little bit more open to what's going on in your child's life and in your life. There is always a difference of opinion with everything. And as I said, I'd be really, really interested, after reading all those comments after this video, I'd be so interested in finding out how one of the girls in the comments said, not let her mother where she was, know where she was. And of course, analyzing that now that she's an adult, it's more like, you know, that was her way of punishing her mother, getting even for the punishment her mother inflicted on her. That seems to be most of our MO, modus operandi. Most